How much does it cost to provide electricity to all of Africa? And has the U.S. Postal Service changed its tune on buying electric trucks? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Beckosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I'm Becky Hoag, a science writer. Today is Friday, July 22nd. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with an extreme weather event. We talked about the extensive heat wave in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas on Tuesday, but now that heat wave has expanded to encompass at least 28 states. Cities from Las Vegas to New York are under heat warnings as temperatures could surpass 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 38 degrees Celsius. More heat records are expected to break in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas, according to the National Weather Service. Oklahoma and Texas have both hit 115 degrees Fahrenheit or 46 degrees Celsius already. Like everywhere else in the world, homeless populations are the most likely to die from a heat stroke, with about half of the heat deaths recorded annually in the U.S. being homeless. Just another example of how other societal inequalities are being exacerbated by climate change. Now on to some climate victories. The Colorado-based company Husk Power Systems, which focuses on building solar in emerging economies, announced plans to install at least 500 community microgrids with 400,000 grid connections in Nigeria by 2026 through a project dubbed the Nigerian Sunshot Initiative. Nigeria is Africa's largest economy, but 90 million people there still live without access to electricity. The country has a goal of providing universal energy access by 2030. Husk Power hopes its initiative will provide about 2 million people with cheap energy, reducing the use of diesel and gas power generators that are bad for the climate and local air quality. The company hopes solar energy will reduce the need for some 25,000 generators. Fun fact for you, the price of building one liquefied natural gas or LNG terminal a year is equivalent to how much it would cost to give the whole of Africa clean energy access by 2030, according to a June report by the International Energy Agency. That's about $50 billion a year. Just think about that the next time you hear one of those terminals being considered. Africa currently gets about $25 billion in investment a year to increase energy access. Over in Asia, four Indonesia islanders, supported by the NGO Swiss Church Aid, launched the first climate damages lawsuit against a cement company in a Swiss court this week. They accuse Holcim, one of the largest cement makers in the world, of contributing to climate change and want the company to pay for compensation and flood defenses. They also want the company to reduce its emissions. The cement and concrete industry is responsible for about 4% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Holcim itself is responsible for an estimated 0.42% of global emissions, according to research by the Climate Accountability Institute. Concrete and cement is one of the harder sectors to decarbonize because it requires high heat to make, which is easier to get from burning fossil fuels or wood than using clean energy. That being said, there are a growing number of ways to bring down emissions in the process. Palau Piri, where the islanders live, is experiencing worsening floods due to sea level rise, inundating streets, homes, and businesses. I'll let you know if this lawsuit goes anywhere. Then in Europe, Greenpeace UK became the latest large environmental group to connect humanity's history of racism to climate change and other environmental crises. In a recent report, it says, quote, "The environmental emergency is the legacy of colonialism because it established a model through which the air and lands of the global south have been used as places to dump waste the global north does not want." Specifically looking at the UK, it notes that over half of the waste-burning incinerators are located in places where the majority of residents are people of color, and that in London, people of color are more likely to breathe illegal levels of air pollution. In England, black people are 4 times as likely as white people to have no access to outdoor space at home. And yet, a YouGov survey showed that almost half of the surveyed thought ethnic groups had equal access to green spaces, and over half surveyed thought there was no difference in air pollution exposure. The report criticizes mainstream media for not drawing enough attention to the correlation between race and environmental pollution. This was a big move by Greenpeace, as the majority of its supporters are white, so hopefully the report will add awareness to the issue. Amid the heat wave, U.S. President Biden announced he would expand federal programs to help Americans cope with extreme heat. It includes an additional $2.3 billion from the Federal Emergency Management Administration, or FEMA, to help communities, particularly lower-income ones, build structures and programs to withstand extreme weather events. He also announced the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program to help people stay cool in their homes and build community cooling centers. Additionally, Biden called on the Interior Department to create a path for offshore wind development in the Gulf of Mexico. The president did not declare a climate emergency, which was something rumored to be announced, though that decision is not off the table yet. Declaring an emergency would basically give him war-scale power to do things like ban offshore drilling and ramp up the clean energy transition, but he will likely be immediately sued by Republicans and fossil fuel companies if and when he does that. I consider this next news story to fall in a bit of a gray space. The company Holtec, the U.S.'s largest exporter of nuclear equipment, has advanced its $7.4 billion plan to build 4 small nuclear reactors and a supersized reactor factory in New Jersey. These small reactors are expected to provide 300 megawatts each, which is about a third of the energy larger reactors can provide. They can be built in factory and are touted to have fewer safety concerns and less waste, though there was a study in May that said that they could produce 30 times more waste that is harder to dispose of. But they don't produce greenhouse gas emissions? I guess we'll have to see. Holtec has finished part 2 of applying to the Energy Department loan program for this project. Now let's talk about some climate fails. On the hottest day on record, the UK government outlined its Jet Zero plan to create guilt-free flying, promising to mandate 10% aviation fuel by 2030 to reach net zero for airplanes and airports by 2040. The goal is not to let the sector reach pre-pandemic 2019 emissions levels, but the plan immediately received a bunch of criticism for being tone-deaf. Aviation fuel isn't going to cut emissions enough to allow everyone to fly guilt-free. It itself isn't free of emissions. Depending on what kind of biofuel is used, it might just increase emissions in the agriculture sector. The best way to reduce aviation emissions is to fly less by choosing alternative forms of transportation. So honestly, the best way to reduce emissions in the aviation sector is to invest in public transit. So not a good look for the UK government on the country's hottest day. And a new report looking at the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which was the U.S.'s first market-based emissions reduction program, showed that the program has not addressed environmental justice issues related to power plant distribution and pollution. Established in 2005, the initiative allows 11 East Coast states to trade clean energy credits across borders to hopefully decarbonize their whole energy sectors together. The study looked at how many fossil fuel power plants are located near people of color, or POCs, and lower-income communities from 1995 to 2015. Unfortunately, the study found the disparity has not improved. The researchers calculated that the percentage of POCs living at or less than 6.2 miles from power plants is 23.5% higher than white people living that close. Additionally, those in poverty at or less than 5 miles from a power plant is 15.3% higher than people not living in poverty living that close. The report determined that so far, emissions reduction efforts have largely benefited wider and wealthier communities more. If you'd like to read the study, it will be linked in the source list below. We have one chemical news today. 30,000 gallons of diesel spilled into the Exuma district of the Bahamas between Tuesday and Thursday while a vessel contracted by Sun Oil was offloading the fuel for the utility company Bahama Power and Light. BPL says half of the diesel was cleaned up by the end of Wednesday and the oil has been contained in the bay. Let's finish with one more climate victory. The U.S. Postal Service announced it will more than double its order of electric trucks to bring it to represent at least 40% of its fleet, up from the initial 10%. That means ordering 25,000 EVs. The Postal Service is the largest fleet of vehicles in the U.S. government, and for a while, the Trump-appointed Postmaster General was heading the service in the entirely wrong direction, claiming electrifying the fleet was financially infeasible. Since then, Biden has secured the majority of the Postal Service's Board of Governors, which has the power to dismiss DeJoy, and suddenly DeJoy thinks EVs, at least in part, are doable. Environmental groups and 16 state attorney generals have sued the Postal Service over the first order of new vehicles, which were mostly gas-powered trucks. This purchase was the largest the service has made in decades, so it was an incredibly disappointing move. No word yet on the lawsuit, but this new announcement at least changes the trajectory from awful to just okay. And that was your climate recap for Friday, July 22nd. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.